We could be here right now and we might not even know.
Assassino!
I did not choose this path.
It is a good life we lead, brother.
It was chosen for me.
You and your collaborators are sentenced to death.
First, I thought vengeance would be easy.
Incredible.
The blade is designed to ensure the commitment of whoever wields it.
Leonardo da Vinci, I am in your debt.
He is Rodrigo Borgia, one of the most powerful men in all of Europe, and leader of the Templar Order.
For 30 years, I've lived in the shadows. Visited death upon those who deserved it. Vanished like the wind. I don't know who started this conspiracy, but I know who will end it. My name is Ezio Auditore da Firenze. Like my father before me, I am an assassin.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. I have to say that is probably the epicest and the most epic trailer.
Epicest?
Shush, man. We've already decided.
Look it up.
We've already decided this is the Hangover Show, so you may notice some slow kind of buffering in our heads.
And
tonight.
We mean the Hungover Show, not the Hangover crap
Even
movie
the
show.
Even the computer seems to be hungover this morning.
Everything in this room seems to be a little bit hungover. Yeah. So, if bear with us a little today. Just so that you know, that was Assassin's Creed, which will be our feature review for this week. Yes, oh, funnily wow. enough.
Yeah. Shit, I should have played it.
I'm real sorry, man. I know I should have given you the notes before. What was it, 3 a.m. this morning
by the time
I got them sent out?
Thank you, Miller Chill. This show is sponsored by Hangover, presented to you by Miller Chill.
Anyway, guys, if you're wondering who we are and what we're yakking on about, this is Platforms. We're on episode 8 now.
Yes.
And we are a games podcast show.
What number?
What number? Where are we?
I think you're surprised we're still on air. 8? What? Fuck, 8?
I have that question mark on the end of it because if I get it wrong, at least I wasn't completely sure. I was like, yes, it might have been 8, I think, maybe. Anyway, guys, we're part of the Geek Actually Podcast Network, and like I said, we are a games podcast. The difference between us and other games podcasts is we're not sponsored, so therefore we are honest, we are not PC, and we are... very opinionated.
And awesome.
And awesome. Yes, thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Anyway, who are we? Well, I'm one of your hosts. I'm Josh Philpott. With me, of course, in the studio is my co-host and good friend, Dave Kaziki.
Friend?
I knew that was going to happen. Mm. I just got to leave the friend bit out of there.
This guy you randomly met at a game store that should not be in
there. Yada, yada, yada. Anyway,
that's even worse.
So moving on from Dave. We have Dave behind the camera, movement, behind the magic. Well, I would say the magic, but this week the magic's running a little behind the
screen. Behind the lag.
Yes. And
Actually, it seems to be catching up with us a little bit now. So hopefully we'll be a little bit more on track for the rest of the show now.
And we'll say hello to Scott a lot. Don't know who that is. If this is your first time, we'll go easy on you. Maybe.
I will. I can't guarantee Dave will.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have we got in store for you this week? We've got a little bit of news.
Hi, Nexus 81. Sorry, I'm being addressed personally. So.
Oh, okay. No problem. What have we got in store for you this week? We've got a little bit of news. We're keeping the news a little bit light this week. We thought we'd try and bring back the opinion section at the end of the show because it seems to have got lost somewhere along the way.
Last 2 weeks.
So we're going to try and bring that out by adding it as something that doesn't sort of end up fitting in with the actual review itself. Also in this section, we thought we'd go a little bit different this time, and I will give a shout out to Grant, who came up with this idea a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, I couldn't really organize Grant quick enough to get him on this show, so I'm stealing his idea. Basically, we're going to go out with a little bit of, as it is just about to hit December and people are starting to buy Christmas presents, we thought we'd give you guys has just a bunch of titles, new, old, and some bargains that me and Dave think are worth picking up for Christmas. You know, and you know, it's not an absolute must-do, but you might want to use a couple of those as present ideas.
No, you must go out and buy these games right now.
Yes, well, of course, that's our suggestion. And, of course, we'll be following that with our feature review, which, as you saw from the trailer, is Assassin's Creed 2. We have all sorts of talk about that. And our opinion section for this week is, where left is there to go for sandbox gaming? Like, what further additions can we see? And really, have we hit the point where there's really not much more we can do that is new? We will come back to that later.
People need to start thinking outside.
And we would
box.
Have a feedback section after that, but no one in the chat room that you know hasn't already has given us an iTunes review or a review to the website. So we will tell you guys how to do that and make sure that you guys get in and do that so that we have some feedback to read back next week.
I've got an idea. We're halting the show until somebody puts their feedback on iTunes right now.
No,
so we'll
no,
wait.
We're not. No,
we're waiting.
We're not waiting.
We need feedback.
Dave, we do need feedback, but waiting, no? we don't know whether anyone will, and then that would just be boring, and I want to go home and play more Assassins.
Fine.
We also have to put a shout out because we do have a live studio audience today.
Oh, yes.
So if you do hear a voice piping up in the background, the lovely Sarah Kalpokas has joined us, who was on Geek Actually this week. Hello, Sarah, how are you? There you go.
She's sitting quietly in the thing. We'll probably get about as much vocal tones out of her as we did on Geek Actually when she was actually in front of the camera. Anyway.
I can actually take care of that. I liked it. There you go. I think that was it for the whole show. So.
Oh, good Lord. Anyway, okay, guys, we'll move into some news. Kicking off straight away, Splinter Cell has come out with some announcements over the last, well, I don't know, it's been very, very recent, but on a recent interview, it was announced that there is co-op coming to the game, which I think is awesome. Do you remember co-op from number 3, dude? Did you play Splinter Cell 3?
People who know me know that Davey don't like stealth.
Yeah, well, okay, cool.
So, no, I did actually play a little bit of that one, but as with most of these games, I think that I'm going to hold judgment until I actually see a finished copy of the game with co-op.
I think you might like this one, Dave. I mean,
I like the whole thing about this new version of Splinter Cell. It looks great. I think visually it's going to be astounding.
But not only that, there's not so much of the stealth element. You can kind of get away with just running through
you
and shooting
the crap
out of it.
You can stab people in the hand, and it's Ironside. Ironside.
I know.
Let me just say it again. Ironside. That's
you
all I needed.
You can't go wrong with Ironside.
No, you
really,
can't.
Really can't. But anyway, so yes, it was an interesting addition. Anyone that knows the game knows that it is a primarily stealth-based game. But it will be interesting because they have refused to announce whether or not it is a co-op mode or whether the whole game is available co-op.
I think it'll be a mode or a multiplayer edition.
Yeah,
I don't think that they're going to put it into a single player campaign.
Yeah, it usually, unfortunately, ends up that way. But hey, we'll see how it goes. I have great hope that we might actually get a co-op game that, you know, after Borderlands, every game I want to see with a great co-op mode. And unfortunately, not a lot of them actually
Borderlands,
have it.
Seriously, if I could marry a pixelated thing or at least date it for a little while on the side, Borderlands would be it.
Yes, well, we all know Dave's love for Borderlands, and we will come back to that in more detail very soon.
How wonderful.
however, next piece of news is that Thief 4 has finally been announced, or when I mean announced, it's finally stopped being that rumor and that thing that everybody, when asked that the studios, goes, yeah, we're thinking about it, we might be doing it, maybe, we're not sure, we'll let you guys know. We actually have... one of the team actually let something out of the bag, and it sounds that it is coming along with, and I quote, leaps and bounds. Ha ha! It's because the jumping around. Yeah, okay, it wasn't that funny.
Can I say it once? That was lame. That was lame.
Yeah, yeah, you just eat that up. You just love it.
I do,
don't you?
I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bring
yeah.
more lame jokes. Let's go. Now make with the funny, boy. Let's go.
Anyone that's played this game will know that the Thief series has been really amazing. One and two were really standout games. A lot of the friends that I know, this was my kind of stealth, where it was stealth that wasn't too stealthy. I like stealth that when something goes wrong, I just get a wave of enemies and a whole bunch of bodies I have to bury at the bottom of a pool. And as long as I can do that, I'm happy with the game. I don't mind how many people I have to kill and bury. I just want, you know, to be able to bury them. I mean, I will admit that in the most levels that I would play, there would be bathtubs full of people. but
I think you'd have the little side mission, you know, how many dead bodies in a Volkswagen all piled into a telephone book.
Like, it would literally be like I'd drop one body in and I'd walk around the corner and be like, hey, and I'm like, ugh, stab, drag, throw. But yes, coming back to our original topic, Thief was great. Thank you, Nexus. Yes, I have never been very good at stealth. Nexus is actually the man that I get to do my stealth for me. I'll always buy the game and I'll be, look, I bought Splinter Cell. Shane, play it. I'll just sit here and watch. But no, I was a huge fan of Thief, and I finished both Thief 1 and 2. I'd never finished 3. I played it way too late, and the graphics were a bit dated, and I just couldn't get into it. It was a good game, but it was trying to be something different, and it kind of stemmed away from its original fun. We will see how it goes, because it's kind of somewhere between Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell.
I have to say, I actually played Thief 1 and 2 on the PC, and I absolutely loved them. They were actually my favorite games at the time.
They had some...
I love the creeping in the shadows.
They had brilliant storylines.
I've only played the real version, you know, where you actually steal something and then go... then you go to court
I just love the way that in Thief, I love the idea of sneaking up in the shadows and then you draw your bow and you just take them out from the shadows. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, there was some great comics around about that, where it was like the ridiculous nature of the water arrows being shot into like this candle beside someone. They're like, must have been the wind, and this is giant arrow sticking out of a candle, and you're just like.
I'd love to see dialogue just like, what in the world is that? That's peculiar.
That's peculiar.
Sorry, that was good. All right, anyway, moving into a couple of dates that have been announced finally. Just Cause now has a date, Just Cause 2. Anyone that's seen the videos that have been flying around at the moment, and this great picture which you can get from VG247, which shows the main character standing on a like jumbo jet, which is fantastic.
Show, but just added this before the show.
Yes, I know. Like I said, little hungover last night.
I would put the picture on the show.
I watched, I think it was a 10-minute developer diary on Just Cause 2, and I mean, you can grapple things together. And I watched a guy grapple another guy to a gas tank, and then it was on a vertical position. He shot the gas tank, and it just went... You see the guy just disappear off screen. Now, that'll never get old.
No,
I don't think ever.
Or, you know what I'll be doing? I'll be stapling people to gas cans and trying to hit planes with it. I'll be like, come on. Aww.
I'm going to staple like a guy to a moving car as he goes past. It's just like...
There's endless amounts of fun you can have with being able to clip people to things. And we will bring you a lot more on that when we get closer and actually get some time with the game. Red Dead has been dated, and when I mean dated, it doesn't actually in any way or form mean that it's actually being dated. It just means that they have said it'll come out in April. And if anybody knows game developers, that means they have no idea when it's coming out.
That means June.
They're just chucking the dice and hoping that they can hit somewhere around that time. However, there is an announcement that as of tomorrow, there will be a new trailer available for it. And
actually, I think it's the first in the US, so it'll probably be the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Well, you'd probably be able to...
The day after tomorrow.
You'll probably be able to find it on American sites, though, tomorrow. Whether or not I can be bothered or whether I'll get the time, I don't know. But I am incredibly excited about this game.
Yeah, but professional on platform.
I gotta say, I wasn't aware of this game because I'm out of the loop half the time, but... Josh told me to look up the screenshots for this, and I saw that it's a Western-based game. I just went to Josh before the show started. I said, I want to play this goddamn game.
I just hope it's not like GTA 4, because it'll be like all this cool stuff going on. It'll be like, hey, go and talk to your priest for four hours, and then go and answer a call from your mate in the next town over, and it'll take you 4 days to walk over there, and, you know, you may shoot
you
somebody.
You get telegraphs, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, now I have to cross.
Just stand there, let me get back to you, man.
I didn't play the first Red Dead, but the last cowboy game I played was the LucasArts Outlaws, which I just absolutely adored.
It was a really, really good game.
Absolutely
that was PC, though.
Yeah, it
so
was.
Dave
PC.
Really
that.
The last one I played was Call of Juarez Bound in Blood, which was flawed but still fun. But Gun was awesome.
Gun
the
was
original
awesome.
Red Dead was a shit ton of fun.
And look, I think they've done really well. I mean, I spent a lot of time harassing the developers of this while I was playing it, asking questions like the first level that they were showing off was the same worry that I had with GTA, which was that the levels were very organized. Like, the locations you went to were very set up for one mission and one mission only. They did explain to me that there are large cities and a lot of random things that happen, and he did show me certain sections that happened during the game that were very, very open and very just random. Like, I watched a carriage get taken down by cowboys. So there seems to be a lot more of that, which is what we missed from the GTA 4. Mm. And this is possibly... I mean, the first game that they do with their engines is always a little bit meh. And I think that's what we've got here. We've had GTA 4 come out, which is like GTA 3. It was an advancement. It looked amazing and wonderful, but was a little flawed, a little empty. And I think that with a lot of polish and work, they could really bring this up. They've had time to do this.
I hope they actually, you know, not in true Rockstar fashion where they just ignore everybody and go, we're just fucking doing whatever the hell we feel like and you guys can all deal with it. I'd like to see, you know, them actually listen to what fans have said. Because I think a lot of people, when GTA originally came out, they were, you know, bowing down on bended knee to Rockstar, and then the longer the game went on, people started to sort of see, okay, this game is slightly flawed and there are issues with it, and you know, I hope that they actually do make it more like old GTA, where it's just exponential fun and then, you know, and a decent storyline that keeps plugging along rather than The Sims.
Oh, yeah.
With a gun.
Well, look, they've put a lot of work into different aspects of the game. The horses were one of the most amazing things for me. The horses have their own intelligence, even though you're riding them, so they won't just run off a cliff. And if something goes wrong, they will freak out.
I'm hoping,
like,
and anyone from PETA, I apologize, but I really do hope that you can shoot horses in this. No, not in that sense, but you know, if you're
yeah,
in a chase or something like that against somebody, if you can, you know, clip its leg or you know, shoot it and then, you know, have it tumble over and the guy get launched forward or whatever. Like, I'd like to, I hope that they've gone into that and they just don't sit there and go, yeah, these horses are the new, you know, Kevlar horses that have just been announced by Rockstar.
Yes, Laura, we're very sorry. We don't actually want to shoot horses, but we're trying to create a good Western.
Not,
you know,
real,
like,
horses. Just
we're going Deadwood
ones
on this shit, man. We want things to be brutal and hardcore. So, you know,
nice.
Like, we need the realism aspect for a Western game, and that's all we're hoping. It's not like we're going to go around. Well, I'm not going to go around.
Hey Dave, check out the Deadwood references now. He's finding.
Yeah. Yeah, finally.
Yeah. All right, I've watched the first episode.
And
okay.
I had to push it for the last one.
Wow, here it goes. Anyway, we're staying on topic.
Really? What a change.
The next one is for Dave, because although I've played a little bit of this, I haven't actually gone through and done the whole of it, whereas Dave has blitzed through this.
Twice,
with two different people, I believe.
Yes.
And I am very impressed to say that you have knocked it out very, very quick. And
that's how I roll.
We are talking, of course, about the Borderlands DLC, the Zombie Island of Dr. Ned.
That is correct.
And I'm going to flick this over to you, Dave. Tell us all about it.
First of all, it's awesome because you've got Dr. Ned, who is in no way related to Dr. Zed from the game, who looks exactly like him, except he has a old school mustache on the top of his surgical mask. Genius bit, and it's all sort of vaudevillian type of jokes and things going on. But basically, and in most of the sections that you've been through, like Firestone, New Haven, all of these places, have been zombified. And of course, zombies do not run around with guns. So you've got all of these little bastards running around, diving at you, spitting at you. You've got these new ones called Tankensteins, which have huge... What's that look? huge gas tanks on their back, which they lob at you. I mean, the thing is, it is an incredible amount of fun. I mean, you get swamped all the time. Like, you'll just turn around and then all of a sudden there'll be 20 zombies there trying to gnaw your face off. I highly recommend playing it with more people, because you'll get much better loot. And it really is just a hell of a lot of fun. And it actually makes a little bit more sense than the end of Borderlands for anyone who's actually finished the game. For once, I won't spoil it, which is a big change for me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There's not
that.
Really much to spoil, but anyway. I highly recommend if you haven't played it. It is tons of fun. It is incredibly tongue-in-cheek. Mm. And you'll probably get about 5 or 6 hours out of it, depending on how decent of a gamer you are. And just a little recommendation, when you get to Hollow's End, go to the bottom left corner and look for Zombie TK for the Brains mission. That's all I'm going to say. But it will save you a hell of a lot of fucking around in the long run, because you'll get to the end of it and then you'll be like, yeah, what's this Brains mission everyone keeps talking about? I just saved you 32 cents for Googling it. So platforms given back to the people.
And yes, what kind of self-respecting first-person shooter fan is not like shooting zombies,
this
really?
This is what Left 4 Dead 2 should have been. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
No, in this country.
In this country. In this country. It is great fun. Look, everyone knows that I love Borderlands. And yes, Sandgate Pimp, I will drop a dollar in the jar. I've mentioned Borderlands. But I really, really think that it's one of the most fun DLCs that I've ever played. And kudos to Gearbox for dropping it out so quickly after release to get a little something happening for the people. And yeah, I'm pretty much done.
I love the fact that Flammarion has basically said, gasp, consideration for those who haven't played a game. What happened to platforms?
All right, Flammarion, that's it, right? At the end of Borderlands...
No, bad. I haven't finished it either. Anyway.
Well, look, should have. It's been a month now.
Oh, God. Some of us don't get as much time as you do to play games, Dave. I'm sorry.
Dave?
Mm.
One, two, three.
Anyway, guys, just a quick one. This is not really huge news in any way or form.
What are you talking about?
But Rock Band has actually hit 1,000 downloadable songs. Well, 1,000 songs in general, which is quite an impressive... Sorry. Hey, I thought we said we weren't going to do that
You
anymore.
Said I wasn't going to do that.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Anyway, for those people that actually care, Rock Band has hit 1,000 songs, and it is quite an impressive effort when you think that it wasn't the first Guitar Hero game to come out, and yet they have managed to not only surpass in DLC, but also get to 1,000 before Guitar Hero. Booyah. Good for them. That's all I'm going to say. We'll move right along.
What happened to the movie thing?
It's coming now. It's coming now. You looked at the sheet.
Well, you showed the sheet. You have an order that you put down.
I gave you my sheet and I said, look at the sheet. Did I not say look at the sheet? Dave, did I say
professionalism again?
Yes, again. We're talking about this live on air. Dave, you've got to get a thing that comes up on screen that just makes that noise. And it just comes up with technical issues.
Please stand by.
Yeah, it won't be technical. It'll just be Dave issues.
It'll just come up with a please stand by.
Yeah, and it'll come back and Dave will just be sitting there like this in the corner going, fuck you guys. Anyway, yes, so as we're spoiled by Dave, we have a little treat for you guys.
I said movie. I didn't say that it was King of Fighters. Oh, I'm so sorry.
King of Fighters is coming out with a movie. Now, most people in the chat room are going to go, what? What is King of Fighters? And it is a very good point, because 90% of the people don't even know what it is. The people that do never wanted to see a movie of it. And the general public is going to absolutely hate this movie.
Except
for Dave. And it will be very interesting to see whether this movie makes any money at all.
I guarantee even Dave is going to hate this movie. He's going to walk away and he's going to say, this is the Legend of Chun-Li all over again.
Look, all I have to say is three things going for it. Ray Park, who is Darth Maul, if none of you know, and if you don't know, out. Fuck off, you shouldn't. Your geekdom has been revoked.
There you go, Flammarion.
Number two.
And Toad from X-Men.
Yes.
And Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe.
Yes. And there's Maggie Q in it.
Die Hard 4. No,
4.0.
That's not its real title, man. Live Free or Die Hard.
And it was directed by the guy who did, and written by the guy who did Fist of Legend, which is the best Jet Li ever created in the history of mankind. The only problem with that is that I was very excited about that until I found out that this is the same guy who wrote and directed the Jackie Chan film, The Medallion.
Oh dear.
So I was like, well, one side totally awesome, the other side immense brain aids. So I don't really know where well, look, this
I would
one's
like to say that
up.
This one sits.
Gordon Chan is his name, by the way.
Yeah, it sits much further on the this side Legend of the of brain aids side of things. But anyway, you know what? We'll let you give your own opinions on this when we finish showing you the video.
Or we can tell you your opinion. That's what we do here at Platforms.
They live among us, living normal lives, until called upon into another dimension, where an elite group of fighters compete. But when a rogue fighter doesn't play by the rules, his thirst for power threatens to destroy the universe. The fate of the world will be in their hands. From acclaimed action director Gordon Chan, Maggie Q, Sean Ferris, and Ray Park.
Why? Did you make me sit through that again?
Because of New Moon, you fucking bastard. And that was 3 minutes, not 5 hours of fucking... Okay, sorry.
Jesus, dude, calm down.
We have to give a shout out, though. Josh, you can take it. We've got to give a shout out to Flammarium because it was brilliant.
Look, I'm sick of the chat room stealing all our best lines while we're sitting there talking about it while the trailer plays. A good shout out to Flammarium saying that it looks like the Mortal Kombat films. I think it looks more like Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Dave was saying.
And I think a bigger shout out to the Sandgate Pimp with Cool Sky High Meets the Matrix. That's going to be great. Look, for me, that would be great because it means that Bruce Campbell will be in the film in some capacity, and that's fucking worth it to me.
That was awful. It really does look like The Legend of Chun-Li.
Totally going to watch that.
Look, it has more blood, though. It has more blood. I have to give it that compared to the other ones, like the Mortal Kombat and stuff like that. There were actually people lying on the ground
bleeding.
The
other thing I got to say is it's one of the worst cut trailers. There's no pace to it. They can put all the music they want to, but it's like, look, we're fighting.
I just like, look, they had me after the voiceover artist, in an alternate dimension.
Yes.
I was just like, yes, I'm there. What is it?
Like, they're not even trying to say what little, grace or mystique they might actually have. It's like, in a world where we go to other dimensions. And you're like, wow, okay, we're shooting classiness straight at you there.
Die straight in, guys.
Look, I think this film is going to be like 9/11 times 1,000. That's how good it's going to be.
How much of a catastrophe it is.
Look, I'll watch it. As I said, it's got Maggie Q and Ray Park. That's enough for me. And then afterwards, I'll be laughed at and ridiculed by everyone I know. But up until that point, I'm fucking watching it.
Yeah, they live normal lives.
All I can say, Josh, is why wasn't that safe for Geek, actually, man? We gotta...
I just saw it and I was like, the whole thing is on Geek, actually, no one would even have a chance of knowing what it was.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, God. Anyway, guys, we thought we'd do a little bit of a Christmas special, as we were saying at the start of the show. And me and Dave are just going to have a little chat about games that we think you guys should run out and buy, either for yourselves or other people, or possibly for your housemate so you can play it as a Christmas present. It's a really good plan. I kid you not.
That's kind of like buying your wife a power drill or something.
Well, you could always buy it for your wife as well. Hey, wife, here's Assassin's Creed 2. You're going to love this. Do you want me to show you how to play it? Oh, you're not interested? Hey, look, I'll play it.
And don't forget Gran. You know, Gran, here's a copy of Borderlands. Enjoy. I'm sure that, you know, every grandma just sits there and dreams about shooting zombies in the face.
It's another coin in the drawer.
Well, any grandma that does, I am totally cool with hanging out with.
Yeah, wouldn't that backfire on you completely if you actually gave it to her? She went, thanks, dear. I've been really wanting to play.
Fuck, you mean you'll be grabbing it and be like, it's my controller. Go there. Don't cook me a schnitzel. And a cup of tea.
Hey, Berner. Hey, Berner. Nice to see you. Good to thank you for joining the chat room. Anyway, look, I'm going to run through my picks for new games. Obviously, Assassin's Creed 2, which we'll talk about more.
That's what I'm hanging for.
Soon. Obviously, I'm going to say Borderlands. We talk about it a lot. Yeah, there's a reason for that. It is
$5
on
the show so far, people.
Woo! Uncharted 2 would be another pick of mine.
Yeah, I want that one too.
Yeah. Yes, I know you do, Dave.
You can find a lot of old school games really cheap too if you have a look at the bargain barrels. Like, I can't remember where it's on at, but I know that like you can pick up the club for like $20.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that is a great game if you like anything that's basically speed killing.
Mm.
And right, it's kind of like Burnout meets Gears of War, I guess you could say. Mm. You know, there's a lot of really cheap games. Forget about all your mega editions and things like that. Our advice would be wait until after Christmas when they slash the crap out of the prices. And, you know, if you want to go and get a console or whatever else, wait until then. But definitely now, there'll be some kick-ass gaming deals. I just had to interrupt you, Josh, because I didn't know we were doing this section, and that's the only game I can remember.
He kept changing it all the way through the beginning of it.
No, I gave you a list and everything.
I know. This is a test, man. You're like seeing me on the fly. So it's like, hey, remember them show notes I gave you? Well, you know what? There's the show notes, right? And we're going in this direction now.
Oh, good Lord. Also, I'm going to put out DJ Hero. I would put that on my new games that have just come out.
Yes, in fact, I think you should buy it at least 3 or 4 times. There's
any main reason? Like, I mean,
because it's awesome.
I think the best part about that is you can only play 2 players, so I don't know what you'd be doing with the third deck.
You
but
just sit on the bus with a deck up.
I've personally done that. I know you've going done to someone that. Else's house. I'm like,
just sitting there,
you can't sit there and not scratch a deck. It's just ridiculous. Anyone?
And that was scratch a deck, just to make sure.
Yeah, make sure they understood that
because
word.
We like to keep it fucking clean.
Anyway, look, the other two that I'm going to put out there, one for Wii people, obviously New Mario.
Don't insult little people like that.
Wii people.
What about little Wii people?
You people. What for you people? What do you mean, Wii people? You people.
Anyway, shut up. New Mario is a great game. It would be an awesome thing to rip out at Christmas time, 4-player, awesome fun. And you know what? You might even be able to enjoy yourself with your grandma's sweater on and, you know, the 10 pairs of socks you've been bought.
As you're texting your friends on Facebook and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yep. And, of course, COD 6 would be my other new title.
COD 6? Is that some sort of fish thing I don't know about? What's going on?
COD 6.
Sorry, it was that Kiwi accent food. What
Modern
we want is COD,
2.
COD 6 2.
Yes, okay.
This
whole section has just fallen apart. I even gave him sections, and I love the way that he skipped straight through at the start of new and gone straight into bargains.
You gave me sections on the
right.
notes that you have on your sheet in front of you.
No,
not on the sheet
on
that I have.
Your sheets.
On my sheet. I'm sorry. If you look on the corner there, the ripped up. Is there writing on those? On those pages?
Please stand by.
Where's my knife? I'm on a good behavior bond, you're
Dave,
lucky.
Dave, yes. I'm gonna give you first run of this one. Give some people some older titles.
What we need, just cut this and go, da 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 da.
Play me out, Johnny.
Give some people some old titles you think they should buy people for Christmas.
DJ Hero. That's really old.
That's
like two months ago, man. That's like ancient.
Oh, that's so last week.
I highly recommend Warhawk for anyone. I think they've got a special on it on direct download on the PSN.
Yeah, it's like $30 or something.
Yeah, which is an absolute steal. If you haven't played it, with the exception of Kodsooks, I think it's the best multiplayer experience you can get besides Borderlands. $6. yes, Nias Go Warhawk was put in there for you and for Soho 12. I don't really know because I didn't research anything. you know, I'm just.
I have to let people know that even though I did mine on the fly 5 minutes before I started this show, and obviously Dave hasn't even looked at the show notes he was sent, that I actually emailed him, and he had all day that he could have used. But I forget, you had the hardness of having to wake up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, not only that, but I had to play Borderlands with Brad for at least 3 or 4 hours.
Nexus in the chat room has basically said that his contributions are Pong, Pac-Man, Tetris, Frogger, and Asteroids.
not quite that old.
When I meant old, he went right to the other end of the scale.
Way back,
Mrs. Pac-Man. Nice. All right, look, just a few, like Dave was actually suggesting there. And this is my dollar in the jar for everyone. There is a special at the moment on PSN Network, which is giving Monster Hunter Freedom Unite at $38. Tink, and that coin goes in the thing. I'm going to.
You know what?
Next
week we're putting
it's tradition now. What?
There is a jar going on the table, and it will be the Monster Hunter Borderlands jar. Every time one of us drop it.
And it's buying us drinks for the next show.
It's buying us drinks for Christmas and New Year's.
Yes. Just to announce on the, I think, the 28th, we are doing our Christmas/New Year show. There will be copious amounts of alcohol
and
on that show.
Alcohol,
we're going to get
but we are hoping
to. Oh, you
mean
it'll be less disciplined than this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Psychonauts is, we've just had one of the chat room members add Psychonauts, which is another really good budget game. You can actually pick it up if you can find it secondhand for about $20 to $25. It is an awesome about 16 hours of playthrough if you play it correctly. We've talked about it before on the show. I'm not going to go into detail, but it is an awesome Christmas idea.
And I may have a couple more.
Just a quick thing to add on to the Christmas special thing we were talking about. If everything goes right, either the Christmas or the New Year show, we might get Movie Fan House.
Brad and Charlie.
Oh, wait,
Brad
and
Charlie.
I've got a graphic for
this. We've got the graphic.
We're never showing this again. Ever again.
I think I've got a graphic, but I'll wait a minute here. You mean this Movie Fan House? There you go.
Movie Fan House. We are hoping to get the guys from that. They will be Skyping in from America at a ridiculous time of about 2 or 3 in the morning to do a show with us. They're huge Borderlands fans. We didn't even realize this. They are Geek Actually fan members and have been in our chat room and on our show many, many a times.
And
they've done after shows with us and all this, and we only recently found out that they're huge gamers. And we are really looking forward to the possibility of actually getting them to come in and do a show with us. That should be awesome.
Charlie
awesome
and Brad,
fun.
We love you guys.
Yes, but moving along, another one which is interesting. Anyone that hasn't jumped on the phenomenon that is Left 4 Dead, Steam is currently doing a special on it. I don't know how long it's lasting. For all I know, it could be over. It was about 2 or 3 days ago I saw it. They're giving away the Game of the Year edition of Left 4 Dead. Very, very cheap. I don't have the exact amount on me, but last time they did a special, it was $30.
So technically, they're not giving it away.
Well, is it not giving it away? Not giving it away for free, but at that price, they may as well be giving it away.
I'll take two.
Another couple of games, if you haven't played them, these are available at EB Games. You can get Killzone 2 for about $45, and if you don't own this game, you really should go out.
Funnily enough, secondhand at JB for $34.
Well, there you go. You heard it first here. JB Hi-Fi kicks the ass of EB. Go and buy it at JB. Same thing, around about the same price for Dead Space. These are two really
game.
Fantastic atmospheres.
You can actually
games.
Buy Dave's copy as well if you want. Because he sucks at it.
You can buy any of them.
I'm just playing.
You went there, didn't
you? I went there, man.
And if you'd like, you can buy any
of
my
copies.
I'm tired.
I'm feeling bitter.
Mine will be signed, so the value is just exponential.
Yeah, well, I'll
you
sign my
put
geek
a price
actually,
on that.
You know, so
I'll sign mine, you know, say hi to your mum.
Fan copy.
Something classy like that, and that will be up on eBay for a Brazilian dollars.
Bye, Laura. Apparently, she has to go.
Bye,
it
Laura.
Was nice having
Pleasure
you in the chat room.
You.
Thank you for coming there. We love having you in the show.
Sorry I didn't hit on you this time, Laura, but there's always next time.
Oh, she says she's not going.
Oh, she isn't? Well, it said see ya, bye, or something like that. Maybe I got that wrong. Anyway, look, it's not a problem. She's still
Hi,
with us.
Hi, Laura, welcome back.
That's fantastic.
Kiwis can't read too
Anyway,
well.
We are getting completely out of control here, so we are going to move into our review. Dave, do you have some gameplay to show us?
Oh, yeah, I can do that, can't I?
Oh, yeah, I do that kind of thing.
This is the Hungover Show, in case you guys didn't realize.
Let's have a look. What do we got here?
Buffering. Buffering. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, Dave. I'm not going to do it.
There he is! Portatemi la sua testa!
You know what? There's something that makes that so much cooler in another language.
Fettuccine Toscadore.
This is actually old code. And Dave, that's nothing against you in particular, but this is wonderful because it actually shows off one of my favorite bits about the game, which is the pausing of the video. Yes, no, the which is the stealing the weapons, which is just such a cool add-on because it's nothing more humiliating than not only stealing someone's weapon but then beating them to death with it. And I think you mean
penetrating somebody with their own sword.
I was curious. I was actually curious because I actually have not played, as you know, I have not played this game yet, and I really, really want to. But I was curious in this clip here, which I'll actually put on now. This is the extension of that piece of footage. He goes to kill this guy, and the whole world kind of stops, and the background disintegrates. Can you explain this a little bit?
No.
No. Look. Well. For anyone that hasn't played the games, we could explain that basically what's happening now is you're retracking through genetic memory
this a perfect lead-in to describing what Assassin's Creed is all about, Josh? Take it away.
Yes, the game is all about genetic memory, and basically what they're trying to do with the storyline, though very interesting because genetic memory, in case anyone is actually wondering, we actually asked directly one of the guys from the development team who said, it is sci-fi, there is no such thing. But basically, the sci-fi storyline behind it is that they are retracing the steps of the history of these assassins through the genetic memory of the character Desmond Miles, who you play in small sections throughout number one and number two.
Voiced by the same guy who did Drake in Uncharted.
Yeah, and it's very funny to come straight out of that because it's really eerie for me at the moment because I just expect him to start ripping wisecracks, but he doesn't. I have to say that that is actually one of the most disappointing parts of the game for me is the in-between bits. And I know that it's difficult to make an entirely different setting and different characters and so on and so forth, but they have all these really nice models and the full parts of the game and all this, and then you get these dolls, these terrible, terrible dolls that basically have no facial emotions at all.
Do you remember when we were playing the beginning of the game, we were looking at each other like, this is it? This isn't pre-rendered shit. This is like the actual beginning of the game. But, and it was very, very strange. Yeah. Plus, I'm sorry to cut you off just for a second, but I love the beginning of the game, which is, you've got probably three of the cheapest achievements I have ever seen. It's like, one, it shows you you were a character being born, and it's like, it basically takes you on a thing of pressing each of the face buttons, and you're a baby, and you're like, wave your arm, wave this arm, the leg. And it's like, boom, 20 achievement points for what? Being born? It's like, wow, that's awesome. You know, hey, I took a shit.
Didn't
we
crack
points.
It at like 60 or 70 points?
Yeah, 60 before you even really start the game. You're just walking around, just talking. It's like, hey, I talked to three people. Achievement unlocked, you know? It's just like, wow, that's amazing.
My kind of achievement.
And then you play like 4 hours of the game. Nothing. Absolutely nothing unlocked.
Oh, God. I have to say that the biggest things that have been addressed from number one was the fact that it was a very annoyingly empty kind of a game. When you actually broke past the assassinations and you went past the three different types of mini-quests that there were, it was such a painful game to play because you just kept repetitively doing the same things. I still love the game. I mean, there's so much to do, and if you just let yourself get lost in the world and try and avoid getting too uppity about the fact that you're doing the same thing over and over again, if you just thrash through it and try not to get too into getting all the flags and
every
city. Yeah,
but Mass Effect has a little bit of that syndrome as well.
Well, it does, but there's still the storyline driving it, whereas
and
this
Mass
one
Effect
doesn't have
expands
quite...
it out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas even if you do take the side quest, it's fairly robust and it's interesting and it keeps you going, whereas if... we definitely found it on this that, Josh was basically, he spent the whole game on rooftops. He's like, grounds for suckers, man. He's like, he just run around, oh yeah, I'm diving into a haystack now, get out, stab somebody, then straight up to the rooftops again.
Like, play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anyone that knows me knows that I try and avoid people whenever possible. And running along rooftops means that I deal
Is
with like
games
three
as
or four.
Well,
yeah, man.
You're like the king of anti-stealth. Like, I remember watching it, and I was like, this is meant to be a stealth game. And he's like, really? Just walks right up to the target. Whoops.
That moment in the game where you've played through most of the first one and you're looking, you've got all these great weapons as you go through the game, and like number two starts you out as a kid without any weapons, and by the you get a sword and then it gets taken away from you, and then they finally give you your blade, your arm blade, and the first thing I did, it's like you leave Leonardo's house and I just walk straight out, I'm like, what the just nail the first person I see and then run up a building.
Yeah, guards after you for like 10 minutes. I'm just sitting there like this. It's like, oh, fucking Josh. Like, it was like assassin Creed.
I assassinated that motherfucker, all right? It doesn't matter that he's... I don't care about the warning saying you're not supposed to kill civilians.
Oh, that was, that just kept coming up on the screen. I was like, do you see what that warning means? Ah, psh, don't worry about that, man.
I find that one of my favorite things to do in this game is because they've added the ability to jump down on people, I found this great way to break my fall is to use civilians. It's like I'm jumping and I just totally miss the corner of a building. I'm like, shit, aim for someone. Boof! And some poor guy becomes a crumpled mess on the floor. And I'm like, well, all right, I'm gone. Well, everyone looks distraught at me and I run back and loot him because I can. Yes,
Scotty says the game was like 1 hour of code and then they just copy and paste it over and over.
Look,
again.
We will admit that any cutscene is just, it's an abortion. It's fucking terrible. And yeah. I mean, it is really average PlayStation 2 style renders at best. But as far as the gameplay, it is a very, very pretty game. They've very faithfully recreated a lot of these beautiful Italian cities. If you know Italian, I'm sure you'll get a kick out of it. Josh and I played it on different versions so that we could compare the difference. I don't know, I couldn't help myself. Every time like we'd walk around and they'd start talking in Italian, I'd be like, "Hey, fettuccine, fanculo, tascadore." And it means nothing, you know, parmesan cheese, whatever. But you just get caught up in the whole thing. And it really is, it feels, you know, you feel like you're there. It grounds and centers you. But then when you play on the PS3 version...
Yeah, no, it's quite interesting. We did this intentionally. We thought after reading several forums and so on and so forth, we would run through the two different versions. I took the PS3 one. Thank you very much, Dave. We'll get it later after I've dropped Monster Hunter a couple more times. Oh, there it goes again.
$2, keep saying it. Monster Hunter.
Yes, I have to say that it's very interesting because the PS3 one does suffer from a bit of lag all over the place. I'm not sure if it's intentional. Anyone can write into the website. We'll give you the email at the end of the show if you found it differently. But it was very strange that it was kind of a bit all over the place like that. The other thing that kind of annoyed me, and again, I don't know whether I just missed a button or something like that. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. I was doing a couple of other things because I had already seen the intro scenes. But I can't find an option to turn subtitles on. Now, Dave's version on the 360 has subtitles. I don't. And I would like subtitles because they do speak in both dialogues. It's kind of to try and blend it in. Sure. And keep the, you know, authenticity of it. They've actually given you large sections where they'll do speaking sentences or something like that in Italian and then break into English again.
And a lot of the time it's just colloquial too, whenever they're saying hello or goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. And some of it you can pick up, and some of it I know because, you know, I'd played it already at Dave's, but there's no option to turn it back on. None of the menus, I don't know. I'm going to check the menu at the start of the game. I didn't do that. I did the in-game one. But yes, I haven't managed to do that. Later, Muscati. Scott. Scott's going. Goodbye, Scott.
Now, Nexus. Can you let us know? Is it a PS3 or an Xbox version of that you play?
Oh yes, Nexus.
He's actually saying that he's reporting there's a strange bug involving a civilian being impaled on a tree.
That wasn't a bug. I think Josh was just playing your game and just pitched some bastard off a roof.
Look, I have to say that there is so much fun about just like. Two things that they have added that I love more than anything. One is the two-armed blade, because 90% of the time, there's nothing more fun than just walking up to a random group of people and just being like, "Bwah!" and just taking out two people at once.
I like that you can hide with whores. I just had to bring that in.
Really, Dave?
People would
really?
I know. I mean, as soon as I saw the courtesan feature in this, I was like, well, I don't know what you're saying here, but I think I'm going to be spending some florins.
I also have to say that one of my other favorite things to do is throwing money around. There is nothing more funny than watching a whole group of people going, oh my God, free coins.
That's the distraction thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I haven't done that yet. The Jew in me will not allow me to just casually throw it away.
It's not real money.
It doesn't matter. It's the fucking principle. If I start doing it in video games, next thing I know, I'm throwing my wallet out to people on the street and whatever else.
Oh, God.
It's just not going to happen, people.
Speaking of wallets, this is an added feature of the new game, which I thought was very good. It lets you spend money, gain money from looting from people and stealing stuff out of boxes. Awesome. Well done. You know game as well. We don't like to earn our money. We're much more inclined to steal it. And this offers you that and allows you to spend it, which is a great advancement. It lets you spend it on different kinds of uniform. I highly advise, for your own personal input, get rid of the white cloak as quickly as you can, because you're in Florence now. You're not in the middle of Jerusalem or anything like that. People don't walk around in white clothes. You look very out of place.
I was going to say, does that actually play a factor in it?
No, it doesn't at all.
You want to look like a pimp while you're stabbing people. And, you know, pimps don't wear white.
Sandgate
pimp will definitely be able to testify to that.
Yes, and I have to say that it's good to be able to spend it on that. You can also get upgrades for your weapons. You can get new pouches. You can carry around medicines, because in this game your health doesn't automatically regenerate. You actually have to go out and buy health.
And poisons as well. You can poison your little sling blades as well.
Yes, so. Which is quite cool, because you get to sit there and watch them kind of keel around for a while and then fall over. And again, that's the person in me that's a bit of a, you know, a pain lover. I like watching people fall over.
We'll talk about that on the platform's S&M show, which will be broadcast on New Year's Day, and we will still be going from the night before. I do have to say about this game, if you haven't played Assassin's Creed before, there is quite a lot that they just expect you to know, which is it kind of does, that sort of bothered me, because I know it's shocking and this might be to some people, I did not play the first one. As I said, Stealth and Dave does not work well.
Didn't play the first one, but the second one is actually really intriguing.
Look, they've definitely made it more action-oriented and a little bit more interesting, but they don't really run through the gamut of what you need to do. You know, it's just assumed that you know how to do it. Like, Josh was great. He just picked up the controller and was like, yeah, you go, this. And he passed it on to me. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? you know, and it's all there, but it's not an obvious tutorial. Do you know what I mean?
It's an interesting choice for them. I mean, there are a lot of people like Dave that are interested in coming along for this one and actually trying it for the first time. And apart from really that stupid baby scene where it's basically like, this is your left arm, this is your right arm, there is no other tutorial. Admittedly, it gives you a lot of time to get used to that. A lot of the missions, Dave didn't get the benefit of seeing the way probably most people would have played it, because I run around on rooftops immediately, and it doesn't actually hinder your ability to do that. But it does try and break you through it easily. It starts you off with a lot of walking around the city. Then it does a couple of missions where you're chasing somebody along a roof, and you're actually following someone. So it actually tells you how to do that. And
I was
so
very
and
intrigued
so forth.
By the tutorial that was handled by the madam of the brothel, as she was teaching you how
yes.
to hide.
I had to hide between doors.
I had a different idea of what I wanted to do.
A little tear came out of Dave's eyes when he had to do that part of the tutorial.
So Dave can't answer this one because he didn't play the first one. So as somebody who played the first one, how different is the gameplay, the controls, etc., from part one to part two? Because part one is actually really cheap now. You can pick up part one first.
Absolutely. It was actually on my list of budget games. I decided to leave it out because it's one of those ones that you'll either like it or you'll hate it. So it's not a great thing. You see, number one was really good. Number one is beautifully made. It is a spectacle to see. Just the amount of detail they've put in it, the different cities, the different types of people, the beggars and all sorts. It's just like so many different kinds of things that are both annoying and awesome at the same time. And I think it's kept a lot of that. It's fixed a lot of the problems, I think, is really what it's done. And it's given you a new setting, which is beautiful. And especially when you start getting to the day-night cycles and you get into the night missions and so on and so forth. And there's also bits where you can swim now, which is really cool. The game seems to have more progression to it. It's not just sort of give you everything and just give you a couple of skills here and there. It actually sort of opens up very, very slowly. It has the bits now where when you're playing it, you can be under, like, in the first game, basically, after you've done an assassination, there'd be kind of a bell ring, and that would be kind of their way of saying, oh, you know, we've... you know, you've done something wrong and everybody's on alert, but yeah. No one was really on alert. And, like, you could run up and down the streets and, you know, headbutt guards by accident. No one would seem to notice. In this one, more than a walk will get you seen. And those sort of things have just added to the style of the game. It gives it a lot more tension when you're walking around. It teaches you a lot more about how to avoid that sort of thing. So it's given you kind of a bit more of, you know...
Is there a tutorial? You know, you're saying there's not much of a tutorial in this one. Is there a tutorial on the first?
Yes, there is. Because
so here's an option. Why not go to somewhere like a Blockbuster or something, rent the first one?
Well, this is the whole thing. I think they're assuming people have played the first one, and if they haven't,
Ubisoft should give everyone a voucher from Blockbuster one night's free rental to learn how to play.
Just to play the tutorial.
Look, I mean, any real gamer, and I say that with no sort of holding back, any real gamer could pick this game up in 5 minutes if you actually sit down and give it some time. I mean,
you may find things.
You just insulted everybody in this room.
No, Dave did. Dave did almost immediately. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, he didn't play it the same way that I did because he hasn't played the first one. He's not used to how to use the skills. I mean, I picked up something. I was playing with a friend of mine at my house after I played it with Dave for the first time, and he actually showed me a skill I never knew, and it was part of number one.
But that's any game. I mean, as long as you understand the control that you're holding in your hand, eventually you will work out the buttons. I mean, Force Unleashed was like that. I mean, there's a million combinations and stuff. You just start playing it, you will figure them out.
I know, but for me, I think it's always fun when you uncover or discover a new skill, and to me, it just detracts from the experience. Like, I understand, okay, it's number two, so obviously they're going to assume that you've played number one, but at the same time, you can do a little bit of hand-holding along the way.
It wouldn't have been too hard.
Or even have, like, a hint pop-up, you know
what
I mean?
Well, it wouldn't have been too hard
on a screen or something.
I was thinking storyline-wise, actually. Storyline building it in. It wouldn't have been too hard because he goes to a new Animus. And for people that haven't played the first one, the Animus is the machine that allows Desmond Miles, the present-day character, to go back into these memories and actually do the thinking. It wouldn't be too difficult because in number one, the actual tutorial was... we have to sync you with the machine. We're going to give you the small section, do this, do that, do this. It would be very easy to go, hey, look, I know you've already done this, but we're just going to run you through the thing. We need to resync you to this new machine. Why would that be so difficult to do? It would have taken 2 minutes, maybe a little bit of extra thing. I mean, they could have dropped you in a section of the map and just cornered you off like you do in the actual game. When you're doing the first bit of the game, there is a border almost directly behind you going, do not go this way. It wouldn't be hard to just corner off a section of the map, drop you straight into the map and go, can you go do this? Can you do that? Can you check this out for me? Bam, put you back in... load up the game or just go, we're just going to sync you with the start of the game and boof, you start at the start of the game. Wouldn't have been difficult. I think it was a little bit of a letdown. It wouldn't have been difficult to do.
I mean, I keep coming back to it because I only just finished it, but Mass Effect has, throughout the entire first level, keeps telling you or stepping you through those first 15, 20 minutes of gameplay. It's stepping you through all of the actions that you're going to be doing throughout the rest of the game and then just stops holding your hand. You just kind of free fall.
You see, that's what I like. Yeah. I like it where they're just like, here are all the tools, use what the fuck you want if you don't, you know, go whatever path that you want to go with. And I mean, I think to me that's the makings of a great game. Not to say this isn't a great game. You know, I mean, Ubisoft have put a shit ton of money behind this. They produced, I think, a 5-minute, couple of million-dollar short film that they used all of the people that were motion captured for the scenes, and I watched it, and it looks fantastic, but the guy is not much of an assassin. It's not Ezio. It's his father.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's an assassin, and there's a group of people, and one guy wants to kill, and he drops down right in front of him in broad daylight, just off the rooftop. I was like, wow, that's stealthy, all right.
That's Josh gameplay.
Yeah, damn right. No, because if it was me, I would have dropped down on him. I would have been like, blah, and the guards would be looking at me. I'd be like, pew, and I'm back up the wall.
Flammarion's just said that it's not out on PC for a month or so. The Black Edition looks shiny. I have the Black Edition on 360.
And it is very shiny.
It is very shiny.
But yes, it is a bit sad that the PC version is a bit behind. But if it's anything like the first one was, you may actually end up getting more content because they have done that before with number one, where they got the director's cut, even though that was about 3 to 4 months later, because I think it was more of a pity thing. It was like, sorry. Yeah, have some extra stuff.
I think I might have to go out tomorrow and buy part one, I think. So
yeah.
Get myself some training in on that one.
Exactly. Like, to be honest, if you want a 2-Dave and you think your PC is good enough, the PC version is $20, and that is the director's cut with, I think, 6 different bonus quests. Well, there you go. Anyway, that's another Christmas gift idea. Or,
there you go, that's a bunch of Christmas gifts.
For everyone. But anyway, look, we've got a few minutes left, and we actually don't have any feedback. So we're going to do the feedback section now because it'll be nice and quick, and then we're going to finish off by just having a little bit of a blurt around about the sandbox elements and where we're going.
Can you just describe what sandbox? What do you
refer? Sandbox is like Assassin's or GTA or anything. Sandbox is a term adapted probably around about the time of GTA 3. Really was one of
yeah. That was probably the first one that.
What was the first time we decided to really adapt? Yeah, the title it started to swim. What?
The moniker.
Okay. And since then it's spread. There was a wave of them around that time. You had all of the GTAs, you had the GTA clones, you had True Crimes.
Open world.
Sandbox is the idea that, the freedom.
Because in the tech world, sandbox means absolutely something a little
different. No, we're not talking tech. I got to say, Dave,
there's actually a very fine line between gamers and tech.
No, there's going to be a fine line between Dave and Dave.
Yes, but anyway.
I understand what you're saying there. Open world, that's fine.
The open world versions of games, and basically they have continually tried to push them further and further and further. I still think one of the highest points of sandbox in gaming was San Andreas. There really hasn't been a game that gave you as much as that did.
Yeah.
And we will come back to this in a minute. I'm going to switch quickly to feedback to say that we didn't get any feedback this week, and anyone that's in the chat room, we did?
No,
you started.
You're throwing, like, you're pointing at me going, and we're going to go to feedback. Now it's like, I've already said there's no feedback.
That's right, we'll just throw it back to you.
This week, no feedback.
Please stand by.
We don't have any feedback this week. Anyone that's in the chat room that hasn't done it, if you have iTunes, it's very simple. Just jump on store, type in platforms, and just go rate us. And if you feel like it, give us a review. That would be great.
Wait a minute. Laura says she gave us a review on iTunes the other week. Which store was that? Was that the UK store? I haven't checked the UK store.
I think it might have been the potato store.
Oh, there he goes. Hey,
you know what? You are going to make Laura never come back.
Hey, Laura said, is our you friend. Said that last time, and here she is.
Yeah, here she is. So, Laura, are you actually on the UK iTunes? Wait. 20 second delay.
That's right. Talking, guys. No, we're going to wait for Laura.
And quickly, while that's happening, also Flammarion. We'll check the UK store.
We'll
just
check and we'll
see
if we can find your feedback.
Well, that would be very interesting. So maybe we did get feedback this week. just putting it out, Flammarion. You can actually buy one of those $15 iTunes cards and actually activate it that way as well. So if you've ever thought about doing that, grab yourself a TV episode or two, and then you can also rate us, which would be awesome. But anyone else that's in the chat room or listening to this on the podcast, which we don't talk about much, guys, and we're sorry about that. We do really like the fact that you guys listen to our show. It is a very visual show, so we very much invite you to come in every Monday night at 8 o'clock Australian time to come watch us do our thing, or not do our thing, depending on what the case
may
be.
Seriously, watch us and leave a review. From now on, I think I'm instigating a policy. If you haven't left a review, we're kicking you out of the chat room.
We're not going to do that, but we are, you know, it's very easy to do, and if you guys have access to the iTunes account, please jump in and do that. It's very good, and it helps us out a lot. We were on page 4 of the Featureds this week, which basically means under entertainment, in our section, we were actually on the 4th page where people can actually see all the current very popular podcasts.
That's right.
Popular. We are actually popular. Thank you, guys. It's all due to you that we actually get that far, so thank you very much. But anyway, look, I'm going to stop getting all gushy, and we're going to move into our section where we talk about sandbox, and we'll lead in straight from what Dave was saying before, which is it's a matter of freedom is really what was being attacked. And basically what happened around the San Andreas era is we had been putting so much more into it. Every time a new sandbox came out, it had to outdo the last one. And the attempt was not to try and expand the the worlds. We just basically, we would create a world and we would go, right, they've done this, they've done that, done that. We're going to put in eating. Your character has to eat or whatever. And that would be the new thing in sandbox gaming. And we got to a point where basically we hit San Andreas and everybody just sat there and went, there's nothing else you can do to this game.
But I think a lot of people got caught up in the whole, it's bigger, so it's better. I mean, you know, there are certain cases where that is correct. But as far as sandbox games go, a lot of the time, if you've got to drive 20 minutes to get to a mission, that's not fun, man.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Unless you've got like a burnout race going on in between the sections, then fine. And I think a lot of people got caught up in the, just because we can do it, it doesn't mean we should do it. And I think that a lot of lines are being blurred now where you've got games like Darksiders coming out, which is fairly open world. You know, you had Borderlands, ka-ching, which is, you know, an open world type thing as well. And where I think roundabout where San Andreas was, it started off as it was predominantly GTA
style Just Cause, games, third person, you know, behind the back.
Yeah, you know, person. True Crime, Saints Row, all of those. It was a traditional cop or robber type thing that it was basically, these were the only type of games that they did it. And then titles like Assassin's Creed came out, Mass Effect, and other types of RPGs, and it just opened the whole thing up.
It's
and
interesting.
They took a linear line away from games and said, do what you want
to
do.
About that stage where we got to the sort of next-gen games, it stopped being so much about outdoing the other people and was more about the creation of the world. Like, if people wanted to see where sandbox games headed, really it went to MMORPGs. That's where it went.
Yeah.
I mean, we had had these games before, but World of Warcraft is a perfect example of ridiculous levels of open-world nature. Like, the ability to cook, the ability to do this, do that, dance. I mean, people have got married in this game. Like married. Like, people would use the in-game emotions and so on and so forth to create a world and all stand in correct places. Like, that's where it went. It branched off into that, and we tried to keep it as traditional as we could, and we've been doing that for a long time. But it started to get to the point where sandbox has really opened up and given us both two kind of options, where we either outdo ourselves by taking a world and making something very traditionalist and making it look very beautiful and giving you an amazing world and an ability to traverse this world. Free running has hit a lot of games lately, or something of the nature. Like, we started with Crackdown, Infamous had it, of course, you know, Assassins 1 and 2. Like, there's a lot of games, Prototype's another one, where we've kind of given the ability to move quickly around this world. It'd be interesting to see, like, L.A. Noir is going to be an interesting one, where that game's going to be a lot slower, I think, and a lot less moving around.
You'd
be
running around waiting for a driver to come and pick you up. Take me over this. I got to wait 3 minutes. That's not going to be good. I have to say also, props on bringing up Crackdown, and thank you to Nexus for reminding me. Crackdown was one of my favorite games on 360. I played the living shit out of that
game.
Well,
the thing that has never really been done since in that game was co-op play in the actual world.
It was so beautifully balanced. I mean, it was like Super Mario.
Well, that was probably
guns.
That was kind of because it really had no story. It was just like run around the world and cause havoc.
Well, it needed more challenging bosses and variation, because
it's
basically everyone you just killed. You know, it was the same guy. It was just like, hey, I'm a boss. I've just got a longer health bar and I do the same shit as everything.
And
else.
We always did it the same thing: find an angle where he can't shoot at you and pummel him with rockets.
No, I'd get behind a building, because you could lock on from behind a building. I'd just jump up, jump back down, jump up again.
Well, it's interesting way that they're going with that, because Crackdown 2 has announced that it's going to be a zombie infection style world.
Everything's a zombie infection.
Damn right, and as it should be. I personally have no major problem with that at all. However, yes, it's interesting, and I think Assassin's Creed was one of those ones where I really stopped and went, where can we go from here? I mean, it's fixed the problems from the original game, where it's kind of gone, it's gone incredibly open world, it's given you the ability to buy things and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's strange, because we seem to have really locked off that section that's kind of the having to take care of your character or not doing the wrong things, and kind of just gone, go nuts, and this is the new way of doing things. I'm actually interested to see a bit more reserved sandbox gaming, and I'm not sure whether we're going to see that necessarily. I think it's going to be a lot slower game, Red Dead Redemption. I think that's an interesting one to bring out, because there's going to be a lot of sparse open world kind of stuff and a lot of desert terrain. So there'll be a lot less things to run into. I mean, you might have animals and so on and so forth, but that would be, it'd be nice, because GTA's and games of its genre have brought in the trip skip option, where once you've done the first bit of a mission, you don't have to do it again. You just press a button, boof, you skip to the next bit of the mission. And it's kind of unfortunate, because the whole joy of Sandbox was the fact that you had to kind of immerse yourself in the game. And
totally disagree with you on that, man. Yeah. If you want to plot around for 5 minutes driving from your home base to the beginning
It was a pointless mission, I understand. There was ones in GTA that annoyed the crap out of me, like driving OG Loke to his house, which was the most boring 10 minutes of your life. It's like one side of a city, and then drive along a freeway, and then get to another city, and then drop him at his house, and I'm just sitting there in the car going, seriously, do what the fuck you've got to do. I'm so
there's
fucking
there's a
tired.
Level like that in Mass Effect, too, where you actually drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and drive. I mean, you drive.
I remember that.
You drive forever. You get there. You do the whole mission, and you go, okay, isn't it over? It's over now. So you go, okay. So you wander back to the car. You get back into the Mako. You drive and you drive and you drive. And then after you've driven for a great deal of time, finally it goes, oh, end of the mission, by the way. It's like, why did I have to drive all the way back?
I'm getting the feeling that you finished Mass Effect this week.
I did finish Mass Effect
just,
this week.
I'm just getting a sense. I don't know what it is, but something's picking up.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to finish it, Dave.
Oh, wow, man. That's not. It's been a while since Dave's had that call pulled on.
All I'm going to say is my retort is Borderlands.
Yeah, I'm
ching. Look. There goes another coin.
I'm level 46 and a half in Borderlands. 46 and a half. I have 3.5 levels, and then I have pinged out every achievement for Borderlands. The second that happens, Mass Effect is going into the play.
Well, that's actually my next goal. I've finished Mass Effect as a straight game. Now I want to go through and just literally go on all the side missions.
Yeah.
I want to start pulling all the points.
Yeah. Well, look, my only hope for Mass Effect 2...
waiting for that.
Yeah, but my only hope for that is the DLC isn't going to suck so much, because there was no reason to play Mass Effect. Mass Effect 1 first DLC was fucking shithouse. Like, I remember sitting there... Oh, man, I went out and played that first one. It was like, go to this place, shoot like 25 guys, mission done. And I'm like,
really?
Paid 500 points for this? Fuck! There wasn't even any new weapons or anything. It's just like, wow, I have a new location that looks like every other location you've ever been to. It's like another building on another planet.
And do you drive the Mako for 15 minutes?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I actually think it's called Mako Effect 2.
Mako Effect 2. I gotta tell
you don't actually do the ship, you just drive.
It is the worst driving experience as well.
You know what I would have loved, man, is to be able to actually drive the vehicle. I would have loved to be able to drive the Normandy. That would have been a fantastic
edit.
Yeah, I would have happened. Suicide mission of the Normandy straight into any building.
What are you trying to say, Dave?
And you'd be standing on top of it Just Cause 2 style, and you'd jump off and just bang, bang, all the way off, and then just a parachute down. The rest of your party has been killed. Fuck that, nigga. I just took out the goddamn building. You don't have a ship, you're going to have to build the shit now.
You know
to
what,
get
Dave?
Off the planet.
Fuck you for being right. That sounds like something I would do. Yes, no, but Mass Effect kind of fills the void that for me was Freelancer, and I know Dave probably didn't play Freelancer, PC game from years ago.
You answered the question by saying PC game.
Yeah, I got to that section. I thought maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe you got drunk and made a mistake. You know,
I get drunk and make a mistake, it usually involves a PC game and something along the lines of Leisure Suit something, or French Postcards. That's about as far as that goes.
Anyway, really. Yes. And Mass Effect fills the horrible void that is in my life, because they never made a second one of that. So I want to be able to drive that thing. I don't think it's going to be added in this game, but I think that'd be awesome if you could actually do that.
I think it's probably adding one dynamic too many.
Well, it's going to be interesting too, because I believe that from the footage I've seen already, the Normandy gets destroyed in very early on in Mass Effect 2. So I think you're doing smaller ships or whatever else. I don't know if that means Seth Green's character.
Yeah,
like,
no way, man. If he goes, I go.
I love him. He just sits there. He's like, yeah, I'll fucking drive you here. It's fine. Yeah, don't give me any lip or else, you know, I'm just going to take my time, go have a beer. He was so smarmy. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Anyway, look, I think we'll pull the cord on things now. We might as well turn in for the night. Just to remind everyone one more time, if you guys can write us a review on iTunes, that would be great. If you have feedback that relates directly to the show, we have an email address. It's platforms@geekactually.com. Feel free to drop us anything if you want us to review something in particular. We have kind of an open week next week, so I would love somebody to drop us something in particular. We have a few things that we're going to do.
We're actually got a preview show.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit interesting. It'll be a bit of a different show. We're going to preview something that me and Dave got the ability to
Darksiders.
And it will be really interesting because we got a large playthrough section of this game, and we have a lot to say on it.
Mm.
And of course, we will cover that all next week, but that'll probably take a large chunk of the show. But we may do a small retrospective. If anybody has any particular games they would like us to review, drop us an email. Tell us what it was and what you thought.
And we have I've got a feeling the last two shows of the year will be, one will probably be a retrospective of this year and one will be a looking forward to next year. So if there's any particular games people want to focus on, people want to, and I'm, you know, something that's going to be a decent release, not, you know, something from obscure town. Please, you know, just send it in. We'll have a look. See, there's chances are that Josh or I have played it already, and we'll see how we go. We highly urge on the 28th, get your beers, because we will be getting very drunk on the show. There will be margaritas, mojitos, and beers. Possibly a bowl of you know, chips and dips and jerky.
I don't mean a bowl for all those margaritas.
There will be a bowl for the after effects of margaritas, and I may do half of the show.
Come
like
watch
this.
The show. Watch Dave Hurl live on camera.
Yes, yes.
It will be fantastic.
Anyone who knows me, this will not be a surprise event. This is something that happens quite regularly.
Look, but they're both going to be really good shows. Like I say, we'll be hooking up with the guys from Movie Fan House for at least one of those shows.
Yep.
Also, it will be really nice to do a retrospective of the year. It has been a really interesting year for gaming, and I have plenty of titles that I plan to bring up for that one.
I'd have to say I think this has been the best year there's ever been for games.
This is coming up on sort of the high points of the PS2 era. Mm. You know what I mean? Like we've hit that point again where next gen has become a standard, and then next gen is starting to push its own boundaries now, which is awesome.
It's great fun too, because usually from around about now till February, March, you traditionally have a dead zone in gaming where there is just nothing that comes out at all. And now we have so many quality releases coming out very early next year that it really is. I'm hoping that it just becomes a release all year round, so that there's just great games constantly coming out rather than like movie blockbuster seasons where you get, you know, every 6 months there's a flood of releases on the market. Mm. And, you know, thank you Modern Warfare 2 for doing it. Sorry, COD 6. For doing that for us, because you know, it really has spread it out and made it an awesome year for games, and I'm going to stop talking now.
Okay, well, yes, I agree with Dave in total, and of course, we will also be doing at the start of next year a What Is Going to Be Awesome for This Year show, and that will probably, again, take up a large portion of that, but we are very much looking forward to that, and we will be hitting you guys up, letting you know a bit more about that on next week's show.
Which... Spoiler for that show, platforms will be awesome.
Okay, guys. Well, we're gonna call it a night. Feel free to stick around in the chat room for a little while if you want. We're gonna yak on for, you know, probably 10-15 minutes, and then we're gonna jet out and get the hell out of here.
Just some shameless self promotion. Remember, you can also catch up with all three of us at on Saturdays with the Geek Actually podcast, where we actually talk about movies and we talk about
tech,
and we talk about a little bit of gaming news, more gaming news rather than games themselves.
Yep.
We also cover the great tech war, the Internet Tech War of 2009. We have sometimes we have guests in, sometimes we don't. We are coming up, shaping up to have a doozy of an Avatar show by the looks of it, which will be in the next couple of weeks. And we want to thank Sarah for also joining us in studio today.
Being very quiet. Sarah, go on, give us some goodbye. And I just turned my mic off. There we go.
Hello.
Okay, there we go.
And you can catch Geek Actually at 12 p.m. Saturdays. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time.
And just a bit of shameless self-promotion. I'm throwing a shitload of everything that I've ever written and that has been published on my blog over the next few days at feeltheawesome@blogspot. So go and check that out and follow me. I have one person following me at the moment, which is me. So it would be really nice if that expanded out exponentially to like two. That would be fantastic.
I will come and follow you, Dan.
So anyone who wants to jump
on. I also will
on.
Consider the idea hear of it and then forget all about it.
Also, I'm going to make a shout out.
You'll be playing Monster Hunter. You won't be able to do anything.
I'm going
to
put a shout out as well for Facebook. Dave is actually starting a... Dave is going to start a... Platforms fan page, which hasn't been opened yet, but it will.
Yes.
We've started a Geek Actually fan page, which is Geek Actually as an entirety as well. We are looking for people to come and fan the Geek Actually one. We need 25 fans to get a personalized URL. We're up to 17 or something like that. So anybody, just come along and fan it. Yep. Even if you aren't going to follow it all the time, we just need to get that 25 so that we can get that URL.
Friend either David or myself on Facebook, I'm sure that you'll be able to find a link to either of those shows on it, so you can absolutely do it that way, and I'll put a post up over the next day or so.
So for
and Dave, what is how do people friend you on Facebook?
Well, what you do is you go to, there's this wonderful thing called the interweb, and what you do is you go to www.facebook.com/DaveKaziki.
That's
Dave.Kaziki, sorry. And the other Dave Kaziki is a law enforcement officer from
Chicago. Well, you can follow him too if you want.
You can follow him, but you won't. I mean, he has real life shooting going on, you know. I just have the pretend stuff.
So. I can guarantee you he's less interesting.
And yeah, you can friend definitely me at facebook.com/DavidMcVeigh, no dot.
No, David McVay, one word. So either of those guys will
don't friend
give you
Josh.
Access.
Josh doesn't
no,
like
no,
friends.
Forget that. Psh. No, look.
And
if
also,
you guys
if you,
want
if
to,
if you are a Twitter geek and you want to have a place where you can follow everything that we go that goes on at geekactually.com, you can follow me. We have started the Geek Actually one, but it's not really being followed yet. Follow me on Facebook for the moment. I'll let you know when to shift over. It's twitter.com/DavidMcVeigh.
And you can also find, look, all of these links and everything are on the Geek Actually
on the
page. So
absolutely
you can find links to those directly
look,
underneath the live feed.
Everything is at geekactually.com.
Yep.
That's a good starting point.
That's enough shameless self-promotion.
Yep, I think we've about promoted ourselves as far as we can possibly go.
But seriously, watch platforms 8 p.m. next Monday and Geek Actually from 12 o'clock
actually,
on Saturdays.
And just very quickly, listen to Real Junkies.
and the Fan House.
And
Brad
the
and
Fan House. All right.
Laura just says you have 20 fans now.
I have 20. Thank you, Laura. All right.
Nice one, Laura.
Five more to go. Everybody right, get over there.
Awesome, guys. Well, look, we're going to call it a night. Thank you very much again, Laura, from tuning in all the way from Ireland. We also have our regulars in the chat room. We've had Flammarion. We've had Nias.
The Sandgate Pimp.
We've had Sandgate Pimp.
Nexus.
We've had Nexus. We've even
Where's
had...
Popshot?
Popshot we haven't seen for a couple of weeks. Shout out, dude. What the hell is wrong with you?
Popshot,
where are
get
you,
back
man?
In here.
But anyway, look, maybe he's got a life or something.
We abuse you when you're here, but we miss you when you're gone.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. But Dave won't admit it live anyway. And of course, he's already gone, so we're not going to thank him. Miscardi was also in as well. It was awesome to see all you guys. Thank you so much for joining in. We've had a big show, actually. There's been a lot of people coming in and out. We seem to be having that on a regular basis, and we're really glad.
And that's awesome.
And yeah, it's awesome, and thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we will speak to you all again soon. Goodbye.
Bye,
see you next week.